Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, the Monday night edition. It is Monday, May 16th. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen, along with my co-host, Mike Reynolds. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great tonight, Terry. I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well, doing well. Let me welcome to the chat room, a Boney fan, Carol. We have a couple of guests in the chat room. Welcome. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on Huge Groove's name. That will bring you right into the chat room. You can also call in and speak with Huge on 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. We also have a fan co-host who came into the chat room 20 minutes early because he wanted to be here to so he wouldn't miss the interview with his favorite artist, Huge Groove. He said he's a huge fan, so I asked him if he wanted to be a fan co-host, and he agreed. His name is Kwame. Kwame, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, Kwame is 20 years old. He is a student at the University of Central Florida, and so we welcome him to the show, and I want you to just sit back and relax, Kwame, and make yourself at home here. All right, let me bring on our guest. Saxophonist Huge Groove's new CD, Seven Large, includes performances from Peter White, Rick Braun, Jeff Golub, Greg Karukas, and Paul Brown, and this CD is scheduled for release tomorrow. Huge, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Oh, we are happy to have you on. Happy to have you on. So now, listen, we know that you attended Newport Beach and you opened on Friday night with Mindy Hebert. How was that?
Yeah, we had a blast. You know, we've done, I think that was our third show together this year. We just put together, a few shows the two of us could do. And Newport Beach is always great. You know, I've done it every year for the last several years, and we just wanted to kind of mix it up a little bit. So it was neat, the two of us working together, and I think kind of brought out different sides of each of us to everyone. So, and that's what it's about when you can do a pairing like that of, more than one artist on stage. I think it kind of brings something new to each of us.
Mm-hmm. And that is one of my favorite festivals on Newport Beach, along with Seabreeze. So we would love to see you at Seabreeze maybe next year.
What happened?
That would be great.
Yeah, I was at Seabreeze this year. That was a blast.
I was there. Wait, I thought you were there. I'm sorry. My apologies. Yes, you were there. And yes, I did see. I don't know what I was thinking.
Obviously, a really memorable show. That's what you're saying.
No,
I get it. Okay. All right.
I'm so sorry. My apologies.
That's okay.
Lori just popped into the chat room. Hey, Lori. Welcome to the show. So I want to ask Kwame, when did you first see Huge perform?
It was actually about a year and a half ago, maybe closer to two, maybe. Guitars and Saxes tour. He was there with Jeff Golub, Jeff Lorber, and Jesse J. And I had seen Jesse in concert quite a few times before then here in Orlando. But I had never seen Huge, and I was just coming into my own as a Huge fan around that time, and I said, I got to go see this tour, if only just to see Huge Groove. So I did, and I ended up getting my tickets and enjoyed the show immensely. And I think probably the highlight for me was when Huge came out to do his first song, and I was like, oh, yes, this is going to be a great night.
He does.
Now, I want to ask, I've been around doing my solo thing for, about 12 years now. And this is the first time you've seen me, and Jessie's been out for like 2 years, and you've seen her several times? Now what is that telling you?
Well, you see, Jessie comes to Orlando quite a few times, and that fall.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. Okay, I get it. I get where you come from, Kwame. That's all right.
Well, congratulations, Huge, on this new CD, 7 Large. And I think it's very interesting the way that you have titled it, the word 7, by using the number 7 in it. How did you come up with that?
You know, it was really funny. I mean, trying to come up with titles for the songs on this album. It's kind of something I do at the end, unless it really kind of strikes me in the middle of writing the song. But it was something I kind of left at the end. And it was my 7th album, and so all my songs kind of have working titles, 7 point something or other, 7.1, 7.2, 7.3, or whatever that song happened to be I was working on. And I was having a hard time kind of coming up with the title, and I looked and I go, maybe there's something in the word 7. So I looked it up, did some research on the internet, and really found out how important the number 7 was, and then went on from there to figure out, wow, each number really has a lot of meaning throughout time. So I kind of stuck around the number thing. I just kind of had fun with numbers. If you look on the album itself, track 1 is spelled 1-O-N-E, 2 is 2-W-O, like that kind of stuff. So I'm just kind of messing around with numbers and having fun with it.
You have a question, Kwame?
Yeah, I do have one question. Are there any people that you haven't collaborated with, either in tour form or on your albums, that you would like to in the future?
There are several people out there. I'm actually trying to work out to do some dates with Rashawn Patterson right now. I'm a huge fan of him and have been over the years, and we're trying to put some things together. So, maybe some other singers and mix it up a little bit. I haven't toured with the singer in that capacity. So I think that's where I'd kind of like to go next.
Okay. Now I wanted to know, like I said, Sunday Morning was your last release before this one. Was it planned, did you plan it like that to make 7 Large come right behind Sunday Morning so quick?
That's interesting. I mean, some people tell me, it's like, I wait so long in between releases, or wow, this was so quick. I mean, I'm kind of right about the same as always. I usually target to try to do, a disc about every 18 months, which is really a lot of work to put together, between touring and between to support those albums and doing all the writing, because I generally do all of the writing myself. It does seem to come kind of quicker than it is, but it's pretty much, 18 months out. I guess Sunday Morning came out in October, and October of 2009, so it's just about 18 months now.
This CD is produced entirely by you. This is the first time you've done this, right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
This CD, 7 Large, is produced by you entirely, so this is your first time producing your own CD entirely.
Yeah, it's the first time doing it by myself, and I'm not sure I necessarily set out to do that. I've worked with Paul Brown in one way or another over pretty much all of my CDs from the beginning, and I just kind of got a groove on this time doing this with all the writing, and normally where I'd bring Paul or somebody else to kind of work with me, I just kept working through those moments just because I was happy with the progress and by the time it was, said and done, I had ended up doing the whole thing myself. So, it just kind of came out naturally, I guess.
All right, and I mentioned that you were working with Peter White, Rick Braun, Jeff Golub, Greg Karukas, and Paul Brown are all on this CD. And I'm going to play some music here shortly. But how was it working with them?
Yeah, I mean, those are all good friends from over the years, and I've worked with them all multiple times, either on their own projects or on live situations. I really haven't had too many guests over the years on my albums, and again, that was something I wanted to try to do this time, just because, you know, I haven't done it. It's like, well, how do I mix things up? And that was one of the ways. There was a few other things that I did a little different on this album. I mean, if you've listened to it now, you may have noticed or not noticed, but none of the songs have fade outs. The songs don't just kind of fade into nothing. They all have hard endings like at a concert. And another thing that I've done a lot on my past albums were build these big horn sections for the choruses or the hooks, you know, where like a singer would layer their, you know, their vocals. Well, I've done that a lot with the sax, where I'd layer the saxes, and this time I didn't do that. I had you know, one of them has Rick Braun kind of playing the hook and kind of a trumpet section, you know. So there's different things. Paul Brown is playing the hook on the new single Seven Large, and that way I can kind of play around it. And again, more like a live setting. I was trying to capture a little more of a live vibe that way, because actually, you know, obviously live I couldn't play five saxes at the same time.
Right. Okay. Well, there's a song on here that I'm going to start off with this one first, Prayer for Peace. Tell me about this song, Huge.
Yeah, you know, this is one thing that I sat down on one Sunday afternoon and started, and this little vibe kind of came to me, and it was kind of the drum beat was a little bit different. It's between the kick and the cross stick. It kind of had this little droning sort of thing to it, and I started playing with my Fender Rhodes, this little line that came to me, and normally I would replace that with something else, and I go, I'm going to keep that on the Fender Rhodes, you know, that which is kind of different instead of making on a synth. And so it kind of starts out with that real bare bones thing. And as I kept layering, it just kind of had this little drone sort of going through it as I was building this song. And the more and more I got into it, it just somehow reminded me of how lucky I am to be at home. And when all these soldiers and stuff, it was right around the holidays and all these soldiers are, you know, of these, our American soldiers are over in the Middle East, you know, in Middle East, away from their family, you know, fighting to protect us and stuff, and you know, and how lonely they must be. And I just, man, I just pray that these guys can come home soon. And that's where Prayer for Peace came out of.
All right, we are talking to saxophonist Huge Groove. His new CD, Seven Large, drops tomorrow. You definitely want to pick that up. This is Prayer for Peace. Prayer for Peace from Huge Groove's upcoming CD, 7 Large, scheduled to be released tomorrow. All right, Huge, I have a question for you from Lori in the chat room, by the way. Joy says hello via Lori. Lori wanted to know, what has made you to get away from more of the up-tempo Mr. Groove kind of songs? Seems to be a bit more romantic, slow songs on the last two CDs.
Is that a question or a complaint?
she's asking a question.
I know, I'm teasing. You know, I don't know. I don't think I set out to plan it any kind of way. I just, you know, I guess I've just gotten kind of deeper into these things and maybe maturity. I don't know. Maybe maturity has kind of mellowed me out a little bit. Maturity, otherwise I'm getting older, I guess. But, yeah, you know, what's interesting about this, I've kind of heard this from people this time, this seems a little mellower. If you add up the tempos, the average tempos of this album, it's actually faster than any other album I've done. So go figure.
Even Born to Groove?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Really?
Now, and I have a question.
Yeah,
too,
go through them and check out the tempos overall. This album is actually a little faster. So, I just think it has to do with maybe the kind of songs, maybe the keys that they're in, the style of playing and all that's going on with it, that is just does tend to be a little more romantic. So I don't know.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him now, you played with one of my all-time favorite groups from back in the day, Exposé, and you played on Seasons Change?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, yes, that is the jam. So I've seen that you played on that. You played with the Eurythmics, and how was the experience playing with those 80s groups and, touring with them back in those days?
I didn't tour with either of those groups. I was really in just studio work with both of them. But, it's kind of one of the best things for me. Is, I guess I was kind of growing up in the music business and, you know, kind of getting my my act together, so to speak, was being able to work with so many different people and learn from them. You know, I went to the University of Miami and got my music education down there, but I think my real education started when I was working with Tower Power. I mean, I learned so much from them and all the groups that I work with in the studio and really high end, high budget, you know, sessions and to be able to see how they do it is unbelievable. I mean, because you just can't read about that stuff in books. I mean, you really kind of have to see it done. So, you know, I learned so much from working with those people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you still play the piano? Because I know that you were taught at the piano, you learned piano in the second grade. Do you still play, by any chance?
Yeah, I mean, I do all of my writing on piano. I think that's why, if you listen to my music, it's probably more, piano and Fender Rhodes and B3. You know, I did a lot of the programming and a lot of the playing, all the live B3 playing on this album. I used Tracy Carter to play piano, but it's so heavily influenced chordally and structurally with the keyboard. And I think that just comes from, you know, me sitting down at the piano to actually write these songs.
Mm. Okay. Kwame, you have a question?
Yeah, it kind of goes back to a question that Lori actually had. When you think about the themes for your albums, how do you come up with the themes? Are they just conceptualized in your head, or are they things that are going on in your life at the time?
You know, I've had, I'd say it's probably the later albums have been more life-related, because I think life really kind of takes hold more. I mean, I think when I was younger, it was all about, you know, you didn't pay attention to what was going around, and it was all about career, career, career. And if I've learned one thing, balance is kind of the best thing that you should have. But, sometimes I'll go into an album with a complete theme. Sometimes I'll go into it with I have no idea what I'm going to do. And that was sort of this time. I mean, I sat down and stared into a blank computer screen. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to kind of do what I feel comfortable with. And that's how track one came out. And I wrote all the songs in order, and I just kind of wanted to have that vibe and that feeling of doing everything kind of in one unit. And, you know, I put an ending on the first song, and I go, this is kind of cool. Let's do that for every song. So, I mean, it just kind of evolved naturally. And as you hear, again, listen to this album, you'll hear it in the order that I wrote everything, from first song to the last song.
And speaking of track one, that's the name of the song, track one. So
that's the name of the song.
Why did you name it that and not give it a name?
Well, because one, you know, it's kind of, if you look up, looking up the meaning to the word one, I mean, I did a lot of research on trying to name these, and once I found out the meaning of seven, I had to figure out what all the other numbers meant. And one is just kind of the beginning, it's the start, and that's with, you know, kind of the epicenter of where everything begins from and emanates from is from one. So I thought, that's great, track one, that's how this thing starts. So track one, more than anything else, is really to just kind of set the mood of how this album is supposed to be. It's not, you know, you shouldn't put on a magnifying glass and listen to every little detail about this track. It just had to have a flow to it, and that's what track one does to me. It kind of sets up the rest of the album more than anything else.
All right, well, I'm going to play that next. We are talking to saxophonist Huge Groove. His new CD, Seven Large, is being released tomorrow. If you would like to speak with Huge, give us a call at 646-716-5485. For those of you in the chat room, if you have a question, you can call in or post it in the chat room, and I will get it to him. This is track one. That's the name of the song, track one. One. And that is the name of the song, track one, from Huge Groove's new CD, Seven Large. It is scheduled for release tomorrow, so you want to pick that up. All right. Kwame, do you have any more questions? Do you have
I thought of it actually while that song was playing. Huge, you said that you write your songs on the piano. From there, how do you choose which sax you'll play on the song? This is actually kind of a two-part question. I also want to ask you, which is your favorite sax, type of sax?
It's interesting. I mean, I think that the mood of the song, you know, certainly the soprano is a more delicate instrument and, a sweeter sounding instrument. And, I used to mix alto up in there, and I don't feel that as much as I used to. And I think a lot of his alto and tenor are both in the same key. I mean, technically speaking, they're both B-flat instruments, you know. So when you hear a note, on the tenor, you can also hear the note on the soprano, just an octave higher. So those are the two I go for. The soprano tends to be sweeter and more delicate, and then the tenor is obviously the heavier song. This track one, as I was listening to it, I mean, if you notice, it just starts out so sparse, and then by the end is where the sax is really doing all the blowing and the runs and that kind of stuff. So it was just kind of, again, warming up the record and for me to start out kind of delicately and more intimate and hopefully, kind of draw the listener in. And that's what I was really trying to go for. And then live, I guess I love the power of the tenor. I mean, you can just get nasty with that thing as all get out. So, that's a little more of an approach for live. But, for recording, it's, you have to kind of listen to the music where, I mean, this is called Talking Smooth Jazz. We're looking for smooth jazz. You really want to draw the listener in and have them be relaxed.
Okay. All right.
Now, you mentioned live. Now, I have to ask you, you are originally from Maryland. But your band is L.A. Cats. So, now everybody knows who your band is because you guys rock everywhere you guys go. Like I said, Daryl Williams, Tony Moore, and the rest of the guys. Now, how did you hook up with those guys to be your live band versus guys from Maryland?
I live on the West Coast, so I mean, I guess out of convenience sake, it's easier to work with guys from out there. And in all honesty, I mean, everybody from California is just a melting pot anyway. So, Tony's originally from Chicago, I believe. Daryl's from down in San Diego, even though by way of Las Vegas, he lives in L.A. So. Guys are from all over the place. Ross Bolton has been playing with me live. He's from a town near Seattle. So, I mean, we kind of come from all over. And, and on the recordings the same way, I've had pretty much this same core rhythm section on these records for the last three albums as well, too. And I just think we have a good chemistry with each other. I write songs kind of knowing how these guys are going to play them. And it's really good to be that in touch with with the musicians. We can kind of interpret each other.
Okay, you see how he answered that, Terry? He just going all around there with everybody's from everywhere else except Maryland. No, stop. I'm just playing.
I work with lots of Maryland guys over the years. I don't know anybody out in California right now. I mean, I guess nobody wants to move out from Maryland. I don't blame them. I like Maryland.
And I'm thinking about moving there myself. It was going to be Seattle, but now I'm really looking at moving out to Baltimore and hanging out with Mike. So we'll see how that goes. Okay, Lori said that she likes Funky Bunch on the CD, so I will play this one next. Tell me about this one.
That's why Lori said why, what's it up with the Melrose song? She likes to get down and get funky and go to the, to the live show. Again, this is another one that starts out really mellow. I think it transitions from track one into it, pretty smoothly. And I don't think if you listen to this right from the beginning, you're going to expect what's going to follow. But this one just kind of, I think, takes my Tower of Power influence and kind of gives me an outlet for that. I mean, I used the full-on horn section for this one this time. In fact, my buddy Lee Thornburg, who I played in Tower of Power with, came in and did the trumpet and trombones on this. And, this one just is one of those that starts out kind of mellow and just grabs you by the throat by the end. So this is a real fun one was a fun one to record, and I'm really looking forward to playing this one live as well.
All right, this is the Funky Bunch.
Bunch of guys.
There you go. All right. Okay, Kwame, do you have another question?
Yes, I do, actually. On your Sunday morning album, one of my favorite, and actually one of my mom's favorites from the album. Actually, funny story goes along with this. I was playing Sunday morning in the car, and my mom was with me, and she said, "Oh, what CD is this, and who is this singing on the CD?" And we were listening to Yes. And she absolutely loved the song. But my question is, how do you go about choosing vocalists for your album?
Yeah, you know, I don't always do it. There's no vocal cuts on Seven Large, you know, so it's kind of one of those things. Either I'm feeling it or I'm not feeling it. I don't necessarily go out of the way for songs, but in the song Yes from Sunday Morning just kind of, you know, came across my desk, so to speak, and I thought it really fit in with the rest of the writing and the rest of the production that we were going to try to do on the album. And so that's just how that came about. Sometimes I'll have two vocal songs when I'm bored. To Groove had, you know, a collaboration with Jeffrey Osborne and the late great Ollie Woodson. So, you know, I don't know. I guess I just have to feel it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now on this video, you also you did a cover of Major Harris's "Love Won't Let Me Wait." Now, why did you pick that song to be one of the covers that you wanted to do on this album?
Yeah, you know, again, this album didn't set out to have a cover on it. It was one of those things that it came about later. There were two songs that that I had done. I had all 10 songs finished, and there were two songs to me that just didn't fit on the album. It just didn't seem right, and so I ended up putting those aside maybe for another project. And I from the beginning, I had wanted to do the Major Harris song, "Love Won't Let Me Wait," but, you know, it was kind of in the back of my head, something in the pre-planning stages about doing that, and I thought I would revisit it again. And since the, you know, the rest of the album was done, I kind of had a different idea on how I wanted the song to be. So I think that's how that ended up staying back on there. And I just wanted this real intimate kind of a jazz club sort of vibe to the tune, and that's what we came away with.
Well, let's listen to that now. "Love Won't Let Me Wait."
Thank you.
I know there's probably some other factors that have to go into this decision. It's not just something you can make on your own. But your shows are so amazing. I think that we need a copy to keep with us at home. So have you ever thought about doing a live DVD?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I tried to do it about 2 years ago, and I couldn't get anybody to pay to make it. So until I win the lottery, I guess, I won't I won't be able to do it. I mean, the label's just, I guess for them, there's not enough money in selling the live DVDs. And for me, I wouldn't want to cut corners and put out something that's not of the quality that I want. And it's very expensive to do it, a really nice HD recording like that. So, maybe I'll win the lottery, a dollar and a dream. That's all it takes, right?
Right.
That's all it takes. And speaking of HD, this CD was recorded in HD.
Yeah, I've done that before. I did that on the Born to Groove album, and that was a big challenge for me to do that, and I learned a lot through doing that process. This time, it stayed in the HD realm. It was really interesting. Once I got it recorded and into the computer, it never came out. It stayed in there for mix down and everything, which again is different and challenging to do, but. And I'm so happy with the result. And in fact, tomorrow, as the normal CD and the normal downloads on iTunes and Amazon and all of those things that you can do on the internet starting to get tomorrow, it'll also be available on hdtracks.com. That's a new site, fairly new site, where you can actually download the full uncompressed 24-bit 96K versions of the song. And it's a special mastering that has to do that HD mastering where it's much quieter, so you just turn up the volume on your set, but there's less compression, audio compression to it, and it just lets all the nuances and everything come through. It's just a huge, big, fat, warm-sounding mix that comes out of that format. So this will be my first time ever releasing it that way as well.
Okay. Did you have a question, Mike?
Yes, I did, it just to my mind, but I was going to ask him that, you keep talking now, and it'll come back to me. I'm getting old.
Okay. I just wanted to go back to what you were saying, Huge, about doing a live DVD. The chat room are saying that they would support that, and Lori was asking, have you ever thought about having the fans contribute towards that? Now, there's a website called Kickstarter.
I'm not familiar with that. I know nothing about that, so I'll have to look into that. But it's again, to do it right, it's quite an expensive task, and I would not want to go in and do it and not do it the way I think it should be done.
Well, Kickstarter is a site where fans and people can contribute towards the cost of producing a CD or a DVD. Think about it. Kickstarter.com, think about it.
I like that. Maybe we could do that and set up one of them where fans can contribute to send my kids through college? Maybe that would be a good one. That sounds like a great site. Great site. No, I'm teasing.
I understand that. Okay. Kwame, do you have any more questions? Go ahead, Mike.
No, it did come back to me. Now, like I said, my mind getting a little older. But in one of your bios, you mentioned that you felt that you were one of the last guys to get in before the decline of smooth jazz radio and everything like that. How do you feel about the state of the genre as it is right now, and what do you see the future heading for the genre?
You know, I really don't know. It's interesting. I mean, I got, you know, part of my emails today, I got one of the smooth jazz charts, and I haven't looked at one of those charts in months and months and months. It's just, you know, I haven't focused on it lately because doing my own thing. I don't think I've ever written for smooth jazz radio anyway. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the future of that holds as far as, you know, terrestrial radio stations, you know, playing a fixed format. I don't know if that's going to come back or stick around. I know Detroit just came back on in the last couple of weeks. So, I don't know what that holds. But on the other side of that, you know, there's so many other outlets like, you know, Talking Smooth Jazz and other things like that that are out there that kind of gets the word out about new material and new artists. The real drag about it, I think, is a lot of those stations really supported live music in the areas, and I've seen that dry up in a lot of areas. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of control the things that I can control. I think radio kind of turned its back on a lot of the things that got it there to begin with as far as kind of listening to the artist as to what to play. Then it started kind of demanding certain artists change to what they wanted them to play, and it was just kind of weird. So I'm sure it's one of these cleaning processes that needed to happen.
Okay. All right. So where are you headed next to perform?
I'm actually in San Diego at the moment right now. I'm doing a Fox Morning Television show tomorrow to kind of launch the new album and also talk about the big AIFM Jazz Festival that's coming up this weekend in San Diego. And then I play San Diego this weekend, and then back to some more promotional stuff for the album, and then I have a couple more dates with Mindy Hebert coming up, opening a show for Kem up in Seattle coming up, and, you know, so kind of off and on this whole summer, just how I like to do it.
All right. Well, congratulations on this new CD. Again, it drops tomorrow. Seven Large is the name of it. You definitely want to pick that up. It'll be available at the usual spots, Amazon and iTunes. So definitely pick that up. Well, Mute, thank you for joining.
I'm going to just interject. That's really interesting that you said that, the usual spots, Amazon and iTunes. I mean, that's kind of what we've come back down to. I mean, there's
yeah.
not so many brick-and-mortar stores out there anymore, you know. Yeah, the closure of, and this has nothing, you know, a lot of people kind of equate this stuff with the genre or music in general. Guys, it's not that. It's really not. I mean, the fans, as you can attest to, are still there supporting the music as much as ever. I mean, for Beach last week, you know, two back-to-back weeks sold out on the Smooth Jazz Cruise. Fans love this music. It has to do
mm-hmm.
with this. In this country and with this country he's in, you know, we didn't certainly close down Circuit City, but what was interesting is Circuit City was the biggest jazz retailer in the United
yes.
States when they closed down. You know, we're not closing down borders, you know, but a lot of these stores are getting away from, you know, selling the physical products and you know, and I think internet has really taken up the slack in a lot of big ways. I mean, it's easier to find stuff on the internet. You can order it on Amazon. It's on your doorstep the next day. You can pre-order it, and it'll be there the day that it comes out. So, you know, I think they're rising to the call. But it is interesting. The usual suspects are Amazon and iTunes. So that's where you can find
yep.
it tomorrow. Definitely for sure.
CD Baby. Those are three. Yes, definitely. All right. Well, Huge, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on this new CD. And we look forward to picking that up tomorrow.
My pleasure, and thanks for having me on. Are you going to play one more song out?
I sure will. I'm going to close the show with a song. Do you want to pick it?
I would love to, because this is kind of how I closed the album, and for me it was a really important thing on the album as well, too. The last cut on the album is called 10 to 2, and it's kind of on a mellower note, but I think if you think of the bar scene that this is coming from, imagine this being in a live club, and 10 to 2 comes from 10 at night till 2 in the morning, which was kind of like my most creative time of writing this record, believe it or not. I put everybody off to bed, and I go into my studio, and that just seemed like where everything was flowing. And this is just kind of a, you know, I felt most released to play on this. I think that's from the band, and it also has a great blues solo by Jeff Golub. So this is one of my favorite cuts on the album.
All All right. Well, we want to thank Fuse Group again for joining us. Thank Kwame for deciding at the last minute to be our fan co-host. Thank you, Kwame. You did a great job, a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone in the chat room for joining us. Again, the name of the CD is Seven Large. It is going to be released tomorrow, so definitely pick that up. And just a quick programming note, we were to interview Eric Darius tomorrow night, but I received a call that he was called into a recording session tomorrow night. So his interview has been rescheduled to Tuesday, May 24th. So tune in for that. All right. From Huge Groove's new CD, this is 10 to 2. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And Kwame. And we look forward to talking smooth jazz again with you next time. Until then, keep it smooth.
could be.